Hi, this is Shannon Lambert-Ryan from the Celtic roots band Runa. We have a brand new album called When the Light Gets In. This is the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast.
Show number 649. Welcome to the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast, helping you celebrate Celtic culture through music. I am Mark Gunn. This podcast is here to build a diverse Celtic community and help the incredible artists who so generously share their music with you. If you hear music you love, please email the artists. Let them know you heard them on the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast. Musicians depend on your generosity to keep making a living, so please find a way to support them by a CD, album, pen, shirt, digital download, or join their communities on Patreon. You can find a link to all the artists in the show notes along with show times when you visit our website at CelticMusicPodcast.com. I am still in the States, didn't go overseas as I thought I might have had to do a couple weeks ago, so I'm happy to say that I've been working hard on some new episodes of the podcast. I'm just getting ready for St. Patrick's Day. Next week I have a Celtic woman episode, and then of course a St. Patrick's one on the 14th of March. That's when that will come out. If you're a musician or a band and you want to be featured on one of these episodes, please send an email to follow@bestcelticmusic.net. You'll find out how to subscribe to the podcast. You'll get free music and you'll get a free ebook called Celtic Musician's Guide to Digital Music. And of course, you can find out how to submit your band to be featured on the show. So this week, I have an interview with the band Runa. They have a brand new album out. It's called When the Light Gets In. They sent it to me last fall, and I've been excited to share this interview with you. But we first kicked off the show with La Famille LeBlanc. That was Suite du Cap Le Mans from Nouveau Prédrage Montant. Next up is Matt and Shannon Heaton with P. Joe Hayes No. 2, Cottage in the Grove, and Mother and Child from their new album, Whirring Wings.
And you never will be able to play. How the rocks are born. My shoes, they are all worn. My socks, they are wearing thin. My heart is always trembling from the fear that they might give in. My heart is always trembling in the clear daylight of dawn, that they never will be able to plow the rocks upon. My curse upon you, Sweeney, you have me nearly robbed. You're sitting by the fireside with your doodine in your gob. You're sitting by the fireside from the clear daylight of dawn, and you never will be able to plow the rocks upon. Rise up now, gallant Sweeney boy, and give your horse some hay. Don't feed him on old turnip sprigs, or he might just run away. Feed him on young barley, leave him out down in yonder lawn, or he never will be able to plow the rocks upon. Thank you.
near Bunbridge Town, and the county down one morning last July. Down a boring green came a sweet collie, and she smiled as she passed me by. She looked so sweet from her two bare feet to the sheen of her nut brown hair. Such a winsome elf, I'm ashamed of myself to see her standing there. From Boundary Bay of the Derry Cay, from Galway to Dublin Town, no maid I've seen with a fair gleam that I met in a county down. As she onward sped, so I scratch my head and I look with a feeling rare. And I says I to the passerby, who's the maid with the nut brown hair? Well, he looked at me and he said to me, that's the gem of Ireland's crown. Young Rosie McCann from the banks of the Bann, she's the star of the county down. From Bantry Bay of the Derry Cay, from Galway to Dublin Town, no maid I've seen like the fair Colleen that I met in the county down.
After Matt and Shannon Heaton came Bon Homme Setter with Rocks of Bon from Colors of Time. Hanneke Castle was after that from her album Dot the Dragon's Eyes. That was Eliana Grace and Dancing with Bryce. We finished up the set with Sussanok, Star of the County Down from Bus Stop Reel. They're a brand new band to the podcast. Tell you more about them next week in the Celtic Woman episode. That is from their album Passages. I want your feedback. What are you doing today while listening to the podcast? You can send a written comment along with a picture of what you're doing while listening. Email me at follow@bestcelticmusic.net. Ken emailed, Mark, I enjoy listening to your downloaded podcast while baking the morning breads at our local bakery and while being the outside greeter at church. The music puts a smile on my face and spring in my step. I'm especially interested in your Celtic invasion trips because vacation questions of this type are exactly what my wife and I want to do in retirement. Have you visited a place quiet enough for senior citizens who love bicycle riding? First off, Ken, yes, we have. Many places that were great for biking. But it's funny that you should mention that. Now that the Isle of Man itinerary is completed, I'm currently working on a possible second Celtic invasion that will happen in September. The idea is to go to Scotland. I'm looking at the idea of a whiskey tour, but I'm also thinking about turning it into a biking trip, or at least partial biking trip too. So there might be some biking to whiskey distilleries, as well as just biking, as well as seeing castles, among other things. I'm working on the details right now, so I will let you know as soon as I have more. You can sign up at CelticInvasion.com. Ben Q emailed, "Hi Mark, I don't think I've ever been asked a direct question on a podcast before. To answer your question about what episode and when it was that Niamh told this the story about Bonnie Woodhull, it was in show number 552, Real Fairies, and her story starts at about the 47-minute mark. It's totally worth a re-listen. She is so fun. And wow, yep, that episode was almost 2 years ago. Time flies." Thanks, Ben. I appreciate that. I knew I'd had that in there. I just couldn't remember the details. So Patrick Reiger sent some more Irish pictures. Hello, Mark. A few more photos to share. First up, a few of Terry Griffith. The last times he was on stage with an in-person audience at Mulaney's Harp and Fiddle. One is from the 2020 fundraiser for the Pittsburgh St. Patrick's Day Parade on February 13th. And another is from a gig on February 28th. Within a few weeks, the words COVID and coronavirus quickly became a part of our daily vocabulary, and the shows came to an end for a couple years. On June 4th, we had a retirement party for Terry. The best part of the night is when he strapped on a guitar and led the packed pub in health to the company. There were tears and cheers for him throughout the evening, but most came during the special song. The last photo is from tonight, January 27th, 2024. John McCann on acoustic guitar and Hamish on percussion packed the Harp and Fiddle. Lots of great music and an interactive audience. Thanks so much, Patrick. I really appreciate the photos. And of course, all of you out there, if you have your own photos you want to send, St. Patrick's Day is coming up, so I would love to get some comments and feedback. I could always use some more. But right now, I have an interview with Runa. So let's go talk to Shannon. All right, today we are joined by Shannon Lambert Ryan of the band Runa. They have a brand new album. It's called When the Light Gets In. And Shannon, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
I'm really excited to share your music, not only because you've been a part of the podcast for so long. I don't remember when we started. I should have looked that up beforehand, too.
A long, long time ago. You guys have been supporting us for forever. So I'm as excited as you are, I think, to be on here today.
You bet. Well, it's been great because you not only have been on the podcast for a long time, but you also just create some absolutely amazing music. Both the traditional and with a little bit of a contemporary feel to it as well.
Thanks.
So it's just kind of that perfect storm, I feel like. So, and I think your album does a great job with that too. But before we get to that, why don't we talk about the band? Why don't you tell me a little bit about you, the band, and how this all began?
Yeah. So we officially formed in 2008, in August of 2008, and backing up from there by, I guess, 2 years in August of 2006, I guess it would have been, which we were playing the Philadelphia Folk Festival kind of as individual artists or with different bands at the time. And I grew up going there and volunteering throughout my entire childhood and into my young adulthood. So I was really familiar with the festival, and it was my first time performing there. And it happened to be my birthday weekend and everything, you know, I was turning 25 and I was, it was a really exciting weekend. And I happened to meet Fanon, who is the guitarist in Runa, Fanon Dabara. And he was playing with a great Scottish band from the Shetland Islands called Fiddler's Bid. And we met at the Saturday night party. They have a performer's party every year. And we met at the Saturday night party and just kind of, you know, we're chatting, and the whole band agreed to meet up the next day on grounds and walk around in the early afternoon and just kind of listen listen to some music. And Fanon and I were the only ones who showed up. I think everybody was still asleep, maybe had a little bit too much to drink the night before. and so we were the only two that showed up. And we just walked around the festival together for ages and remained friends for quite a long time when we were chatting. It was kind of, you know, we felt like we had known each other for a whole lot longer than we had, obviously. And so when we were sitting up on the hill listening to some music, he said, "Have you ever thought of recording any music?" And I said, "Well, the band that I was playing with was a world music band. And I loved that stuff." I said, "But my heart and soul has always been in Irish and Scottish music. I grew up as a step dancer." And he said, "Well, if you ever want to record sometime, I have a studio in Dublin if you want to come over." And I said, "You know, well, that's the best pickup line I think I've ever heard." And apparently it worked. We were, you know, we weren't romantically interested at the time. We were both seeing other people, but we remained really good friends for a long time. And I guess it was about a year and a half later, I came over to Dublin to record an album in his studio, and the rest is history, as they say. We're now married for, I think it'll be 15 years this year, and we have a 5-year-old, so the rest is history. But that album, that so to speak, solo album, there's nothing solo about any music project, unless you're literally doing everything yourself. But that solo album was called Across the Pond, and it was kind of the precursor to our band and to Runa. And so around the same time that I met Fanon, I was also, I had met Cheryl Prashker, who's the percussionist in our band. And she's originally from Montreal, Canada, and was at the time living in Philadelphia. She's now back up in Canada. But she was living in Philly. And so I ran into her a couple of different times with the Philly folk scene. And she just kind of joked when she heard that I was going to be going over and recording the album. She said, "Well, if you ever need a percussionist, I love Irish music and Celtic music, you know, let me know." And so here Fanon, around the same time, then was joking with me. He said, "Hey, do you want to tour the world with me?" And I just kind of laughed at him. He said, "No, I'm actually serious." And I said, "All right, well, let's do this." And so on August, I think it was 5th of 2008, we found ourselves in a really, really small pub in Philly and just played out some of the songs from that album to family and friends. And we just all, the three of us, looked at each other. I called Cheryl up. I said, "Hey, we need a percussionist." You said you'd come. And she said, "Yeah, sure." And so the three of us looked at each other and just said, "Well, that was pretty magical. Let's do that again." And so that was literally the start. From there, we started getting gigs, went to some different conferences, and started touring as a trio. And over the years, we've grown to a quartet and now a quintet, having several different members kind of come and go over the lifetime of the band. I think we're turning 15 this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of funny with all of that, that it really started as, you know, as kind of an offshoot project just for fun. And then it grew into, you know, not just a different job, but, you know, but a lifetime of, you know, both a lifetime partner and lifetime friends, you know. And so when we go on tour now as the quintet, Liam, our son, comes with us. My mom comes with us to be with him. And the two of us are our roadies as well. And so it's really become quite a family, not just a family affair, but really a way of life in so many ways that I just was not expecting 15 years ago. But it's been just such a wonderful journey. And we've had the wonderful fortune to play with just some fantastic artists and musicians, both within the band and then guest artists on some of our different albums, and meet some wonderful, wonderful musicians and friends as we've been touring through the years. And so it's been, you know, it's like every musician and artist, there have been lots of ups and downs, and COVID, you know, the time since during COVID and afterwards notwithstanding, plenty of ups and downs. It's not an easy job, but it's one that they call it playing for a reason. The work is all behind the scenes. You know, and we really do get to play when we are up on stage. A lot of times people come up to us afterwards and just say, "You guys look like you're having so much fun." I said, "I hope so, because we are." You know, so, we really love what we do. We feel really privileged that we get to do this for our living, because we don't take that for granted. We certainly didn't before COVID, but we definitely absolutely do not since COVID. Every time we get to be playing with each other and up on that stage, we look at it as a celebration for everything. So that's kind of what our journey has been, with, you know, struggles along the way, you know, as you will get in any job. But we really look at every time that we get to do this as a celebration. And that's what this new album really is about for us, and what we wanted it to be about as we were putting it together.
You mentioned step dancing. You're a step dancer. Do you all have step dancing on stage while you're performing?
We do. Yeah, we absolutely do. And awesome. A couple times during the show, it's hard to find the balance between singing and step dancing throughout the show. But yeah, both he, Jake and I do dance during the show. His legs are longer than mine. So he whenever he kicks, I just look at him. He's at least 6 foot tall, probably taller than that. And I'm definitely not. I'm 5'2" and a half. And I just kind of marvel at how long his legs like every time.
That must be an interesting, fun to watch.
I hope so.
Why don't we get started with one of your tracks?
Sure.
Which track are we going to play first?
So we're going to give you the opening track off of the album. And as I mentioned, what we wanted, we started this album, actually, we were about to kind of go into the research and the arrangement portion of putting this album together, I think in February of 2020. And obviously that got a little scuppered along the way, but we had started to put some arrangements and thoughts and ideas together during that time. And then spent the period of, I guess, the next year and a half, really kind of taking some time away and then regrouping, looking towards the repertoire for the new album. And it's always hard to choose those kind of 14, 15, 16 tracks that go on there. A lot of times things get put on the back burner. And this was one of those songs, I suppose, that, you know, we've heard and sung and played several different versions of the song over the years. Danu has a fantastic version of this song, and I'll introduce in a second. And then I know we've played and sung it with Moya Brennan, as well as others. But we wanted this album to have just a celebratory feel to it. And I think I put it in the liner notes. We wanted that celebration and that joyful energy to be really palpable. And so for the opening track, that's really, really what we wanted. And so this is a song that's in Irish Gaelic, and it's Fanon and I singing the vocals on it, and it's called O Yara Handina. And essentially, it's a story, it's a kind of a warning story, I suppose, told by a young woman who has married an older gentleman, thinking that he is not going to live very long, and that she'll get all his money when he dies, and then kind of have her choice of whomever afterwards. And the only problem with it is that the older gentleman, after she marries him, shows no signs of kind of kicking the bucket in any way, shape, or form. And so each verse is kind of her doing different things to kind of startle him or wear him out, hoping that eventually, you know, he won't be living anymore. There's a great old Scottish folk song called Maids When You're Young, Never Wed an Old Man. Yeah. and we just, there's a real cheekiness and a playfulness to this song that we really liked. And it's in a jig time. And so when we were chatting about some of the stuff to put with it, with some of the tunes, we wanted it to be to really feel dance-like and to get people up and dancing. And so I said to Fanon, I said, we haven't played any polkas on any of our tracks. Would this work with this? And so we kind of pushed and pulled at the time signatures, and really just, we loved that feel to it and what it did to this song. And it really kind of gave that party atmosphere. There's a great tune that's called Around the House and Mind the Dresser. And it's literally, a dresser is kind of like a big cabinet for dishes in a kitchen or in a dining room. And it's literally, you're dancing around the house and someone shouts out, mind the dresser, so you don't crash into it on the way by. And so we wanted this set to have that feeling. And so this is called O Yara Handina. And there's a great chorus to it, if you catch along as you're listening and want to sing along. So here it is.
Oh, yeah, hangin' and lots of me yods, oh, you're a hangin' and lost girls, oh, you're a hangin' and lots of me yods, oh, so make sure my girl is not there, I'm sure you're.
Things that I love about your music is that you do sing in Gaelic. Can you tell me a little bit more about when did you learn Gaelic? Do you speak Irish or Scottish, or tell me more?
No, I don't fluently. I certainly at this point know a lot of different phrases and have been singing in both Irish Gaelic and some Scots Gaelic for quite some time. Fanon, as I said, our guitarist in the band is, he's a native of Ireland, in Dublin, and he is a native Gaelic speaker. His family all speaks, Irish Gaelic. So coming from the source, nothing goes on to any of the albums without being run by him, his mom, his brothers, you know, the whole thing. And they've helped quite a bit with some of this album with a translation for one of the tracks that we did on the album, as well as just kind of, you know, listening and making sure that everything is all the T's and are crossed and the I's are dotted and all that kind of stuff. Actually, one of his cousins, the first time I was ever performing in front of any of them was a number of years ago. And it was one of the more frightening experiences performing in my life, because it just meant a whole lot that I got, that I pronounced things correctly. And so one of his cousins, after I was up on stage with Fanon and his mom playing, I came off the stage and she said, "Oh, your pronunciation was great. Your h's were perfect." I said, "Thank you so much." she said, "You know what that means." I said, "I certainly do." I've gotten a wonderful opportunity to be able to sing in many languages over my career, both as a student and as a professional performer. And Irish Gaelic is probably one of the most challenging for many reasons. One, that it's not just kind of a mainstream. It's not a mainstream language in that way. And so you don't have as many references as you might for other things. And so when working on this, Fanon will he'll help me write things out phonetically or sound them out phonetically, and I'll write them down. And so I'll often ask him, I say, well, how do you pronounce this? And I'll show him my notes. He said, I have absolutely no idea, because they're all for me. But it's a really cool and it's a really challenging process. And the other reason why I find it really interesting and probably more challenging is because there are sounds literally from kind of all over the globe, or at least that I hear when I'm listening to it and pronouncing it. So there are lots of, obviously, some Germanic sounds. It's often kind of compared to German and some of the guttural sounds from that. There are also a lot of French sounds. There are a lot of Middle Eastern sounds that come in. Mm. There are also a lot of Slavic sounds. And so it's really cool to think about the potential just physical journey and migration of the people who spoke the language as it was developing, and then people who were staying put, and how all of that kind of mixed together to form, you know, what it's become today. And so that part of it has been a really interesting process, as well as challenge. And I'm a person that if I'm going to bother doing something, I like to kind of go hardcore all the way, and I want to get it right. It's kind of not just, oh, well, that's good enough. It needs to be the best that it can be. And so those are days in the studio where it's only me and Fanon. Nobody else is in the studio. Nobody else needs to suffer through that. But it's been something that's been really, really enjoyable for me in the process. But it's kind of like doing gymnastics in your mouth as you're trying to sing. And as somebody who's done a lot of classical singing, trying to sing properly, but also pronounce things, and you're placing things in your mouth in different parts of your mouth that you normally wouldn't be doing that if you're singing something properly. So it's this kind of weird dance that goes on.
Yeah,
it's been something that's been a lot of fun to undertake.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really cool. Yeah, it's having studied a tiny bit, you know, thank you, Duolingo. Oh,
it's amazing. I've used it a whole lot. Our son is using it as well, and it's great. It's great.
Yeah, it's very helpful, though I need to do it more. All right, so you mentioned the album Celebratory. Can you tell me tell me more about that?
Yeah, this actually, this was obviously, as I said earlier, this album was supposed to kind of start, the process of it was supposed to start just as COVID was kind of hitting and everything was shutting down. And so it put us on hold for quite a bit, as it did everybody else in the world for everything. And as musicians, we thrive, especially live, you know, live performers, we thrive off of the energy that we get from the audiences and, you know, exchange that energy with, and then the people up on stage. And so when that, you don't have access to that, it becomes a very different experience. And it was an interesting time that, you know, just a lot of sadness and sorrow, and something that as we started to work back towards getting an album together, as there was a possibility that we might be out touring again, because we all looked at each other and said, we hope we get to do this when we see everybody next, we hope we get to do this again sometime. When we started putting the repertoire back together again, there were some changes from some of our original decisions based on how we were feeling at the time. And obviously there are lots of low points in those kind of 2 to 3 years, but there were also some lots of high points, or different kinds of feelings of gratefulness and reasons to celebrate. And we just wanted this album to follow that journey. And so in some ways, you know, people have asked me and said, well, is it a COVID album? Is it your response to COVID? Not specifically, but it certainly shaped how we made certain choices, and it kind of enhanced some of the choices that we were already making, or the reasons for them. And one of the songs that we did on the album, I think it's kind of poignant in terms of some of this, is a Kate Rusby song called Until Morning. And I was listening to it outside as I was doing some work in January, February of, I think, 2001. So we were like a year into it at that point. And it's a song about holding on to each other, helping the person next to you and the person next to them get to the other side of whatever the struggle is that you're experiencing, and just holding tightly onto the people that you love and care about, so that it's not just you making it to the other side, but everybody making it to the other side. And I just stood there and I sent it off to the rest of the band. I just said, I really feel like we need to do this song. I feel like this is a song, you know, for all of us in this moment. And we all agreed and felt the same way. It just really, truly resonated between the number of people that we each had lost individually over that the course of that time. And then just mourning the loss of being with one another, getting to do what we loved and just being, you know, with other people. And we said, you know, we could look at this as something that's really sad, or we could look at this as something to just really, really just cherish and celebrate, you know, each other and one another in these experiences. And so that's kind of what we went into. And based on our winter album that we had just released a couple months before, our holiday album, that was that time of year, the kind of winter solstice time where it's getting to the darkest point of the year. You can look at that kind of as a glass half empty, glass half full, so that as things get darker, a lot of people tend to think that of that as, you know, the holidays are wonderful, but it's a dark time of the year. It's a sad and a desolate time of year, but the light always comes back. Immediately as it's the darkest night of the year, it's the light starts growing back more and more and more immediately the day after. And there's always light at the other end. And so that really played into that imagery and that thought process and feeling really played into this album as well, as we were starting that right on the back of releasing that other album, The Tide of Winter. So there were lots of different kind of bits and pieces of feelings going into that as we were putting this together. And then just songs that we really just truly loved and had fun with. And we wanted it to be an experience that they're, you know, it's a party and there are highs and lows to, you know, to any celebration, because if everything is wonderful, then you don't have the appreciation of it. But, you know, so you have to have some of those darker, deeper moments as well. And we certainly have some of those on this album, you know, so that you have that moment to take that breath and work through some of that as well. And so it's more of an emotional journey than we put into previous albums, but something that we really enjoyed putting together for this one. So as we were looking at some of those highs and lows for different things, we had come across a song called "O Murk, Murk Is This Midnight Hour," and it's a Robert Burns song that we'd heard a while back in kind of an archive of Burns' pieces. We were listening to it, and Fanon and I just kind of started playing with it. It has almost a Renaissance melody in the turns and twists of how it's written, and the poetry is just really gorgeous. It's the Lady Gregory story. If anybody's familiar with that, it's a fun rabbit hole to kind of go down in terms of researching backstory. But it's this woman has been wronged. She's fallen in love with this gentleman, and she comes back to him because she's pregnant and she's been thrown out of her father's house. He has not married her. This gentleman has not married her, and then kind of is giving her the cold shoulder, and she's asking for him to let her in, and he refuses or doesn't even answer. And so it's in terms of the subject matter, is pretty simple or pretty typical traditional song. the way it's written is just, imagery is incredibly visceral and it's really immediate. It feels very urgent and very modern and contemporary in many, many ways, even though the tune itself is very Renaissance Shakespearean, Tudor feeling in many, many ways. And so we like this. Let's just kind of play through it, sing through it. And Fanon and I, as we were doing this, we just said, okay, I think this either needs to be one of two ways. It needs to be exceptionally sparse and have just guitar and vocals, and that's pretty much it, and allow it to be pretty simple. Or we need to go kind of full scale the other way and go really epic and almost cinematic feeling. And we went for the epic cinematic direction, which we haven't really done before with this band, but we had a lot of fun. And we were chatting and we said, what if, because again, there are lots of those kind of Middle Eastern sounds in the Gaelic language or Gaelic languages, and some of the twists and turns of the melody itself lend it really well to that. And we said, what if we explore some of those Middle Eastern sounds? You know, and Cheryl has had a lot of background in her percussion for Middle Eastern music as well. And so we just said, let's see what we can explore. And so as we were putting this together and different ideas, it just kept getting different layers added onto it. We have some strings being played on it. I don't think I got to mention Tom Fitzgerald earlier. He's a wonderful fiddle player and mandolin player that is playing with us now. And he's absolutely brilliant from up in Ontario. And he plays with us quite a bit these days. And so he has put the strings together on that and gives it, again, a really cinematic feel to the whole thing. Fanon is playing baritone guitar, 12-string baritone guitar that we gave him years ago for a birthday present. And it has a very oud-like feeling. Between the two of them, the percussion, and then the melody and the vocals coming in and out throughout the whole thing, you really feel the emotions pulling of this song and something that is much older. Like, we listened to it and somebody said, that's a Robert Burns song. And we said, yeah. And we said, that's, we often talk about the accessibility of a lot of this music. And for us, when we look at different songs, it's really cool that they're 200, 300, 400 years old. But we don't look at them as being old stories. We're still writing and singing and playing about the same things. And this one is no exception. And so this is one of those that this is definitely not a celebratory piece by any means. This is one of the kind of those lower, more emotional points. But this is probably one of the tracks that we had just one of the most interesting experiences in the development of it. And it took a long time to develop and a lot of space in between as we would layer things on and work remotely with one another and record things and send them back and try different things. So this is Oh Merk, Merk Is This Midnight Hour.
thy heart, Lord Gregory, and flinty is thy breast. Thou bolt of heaven that flashest by,
I want to give you a few little rapid fire questions to get some ideas of some extra stuff from you. So I know Fanon is from, you said he's from Ireland, right?
He is. He's from Dublin. Yeah.
Okay. And so you probably traveled to Ireland a few times, a couple, one or two.
Just one or two a year usually. Yeah.
Do you have any favorite places that you've been in Ireland that others might enjoy hearing about?
Oh my goodness. Yeah. There are so many. Okay. So first of all, probably our favorite place, just because it's super meaningful. We technically got married here in the States and then had a huge party over in a castle on the West Coast, in Ireland called Machree Castle. It's in County Sligo. So if you're ever over there, look it up, Machree Castle. It's absolutely gorgeous. And, let's see, I'm going to kind of take you down the coast as we're going. So when we were over there for our wedding, we hit a couple of spots on our honeymoon with our extended family traveling with us. We went up to Slieveleague in Donegal, which are the second highest cliffs in Europe. They're absolutely stunning. And then we went down the coast a bit to County Mayo at Rockfleet Castle, which is where Granuail, the pirate queen, which apparently my aunt is related to, which is really cool. It's a really cool kind of smaller castle. I believe she died at that castle. But it's this really cool, beautiful setting right by kind of an inlet there. And further down, if you go down just above the Cliffs of Moher, there's a fabulous little town called Doolin. And they have a couple pubs down there that we went to have sessions after our wedding as well. So those are all really, really cool places. And then can I mention two other places in Cork?
Go for it.
We go over there a lot, and it's wonderful. If you go all the way down to Cork, there is a fabulous lighthouse down there that you can stay overnight called Galleyhead. And a great guy, a tour guide, Jerry, he actually grew up in that lighthouse as the lighthouse keeper's son. And it's one of our favorite experiences that we just got to do for the first time really recently. And still in Cork, then there's a wonderful monument in Cork to the Choctaw people and the donation of food that they sent over in 1847 to help with the famine relief fund. We've been working on a project with them for the past couple of years. And so they have a beautiful statue there, a circle of feathers down there that I would recommend going to see as well. So it sounds funny. I'm saying so many different things, but those are all amazingly cool things that you might not just, they're not always on the kind of the trip highlights that you would see kind of on big tourism kind of stuff. Those are kind of tucked away things and they're absolutely wonderful. So look into them all.
Awesome. Great. How about a favorite Celtic album that's inspired you and your band?
Okay. So favorite Celtic album, it's really hard to choose. There are several of them, but one of the kind of ones around the time that I was meeting Fanon, when he was playing with the band Fiddler's Bid from the Shetland Islands, he recorded an album right before he moved over to the States. He recorded an album with them called All Dressed in Yellow. And it's one of my favorite albums to listen to this day. And again, they take the traditional music of the Shetland Islands and really give their own spin and kind of contemporary feel to it without losing the roots of the music. It's a 7-piece band and that's probably one of my favorite albums if I had to give you just one of them.
Awesome. What about a favorite Celtic band?
I'll have to go with Solace again. There are so many different different bands, but Solace was probably one of the most influential for me at the time that I was kind of getting into all of this. Loving listening to their music. Their first album specifically is one of my favorites and that I go back to listen to. When I was, I think, about 9, Seamus Egan was playing the flute for me while I was dancing for a show. And so his family lived in Philadelphia as well. And so we'd get to see him every so often. And so I think I felt an affinity with listening to their music and just loved, again, the kind of pushing the envelope of everything and making everything feel really accessible, really exciting and vibrant, and looking at their band and saying, I want to do something like that someday. And so in many ways, they've just been a huge inspiration. And I still love listening to them and have since become really good friends with lots of them along the way. So
Cool. Awesome. How about a local band? Maybe a favorite local band?
So we're from the Philly area. We're based in the Philly area, and we're really good buddies with House of Hamel, which I'm sure you guys know those guys.
Definitely.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
And they're wonderful people. We have great fun playing with them, seeing them along the road. Liam has even starred in one of their music videos, their Christmas video last year. So they're really dear friends of ours. And so we absolutely want to give them a shout out on here too.
Awesome.
And then local to us, I suppose, not local here, but local to us, some of the guys that we play with on this album, they're not local here, but they're from up in Canada, but we see them all the time. Tom Fitzgerald, as I mentioned earlier, he has a family band, the Fitzgeralds, who are just tremendous. It's him and his sisters who are playing, and they're fantastic musicians and dancers from the Ottawa Valley, and just brilliant stuff. Go and listen to them. They're great. Shane Cook is a tremendous fiddle player up in Ontario, and he plays on a couple of the tracks on our album and also tours with us a lot these days. He has his own band, Shane Cook and the Wood Chippers. So go look them up. They're just brilliant, brilliant stuff. Jake James, who's in our band, he's in another band called The Consequences and all kind of trad stuff. They're absolutely great. And then one of the guests that we have on this album, Antoine and Benoit Bourque for the Bourque Emissaire. They're a duo, father and son duo, and they are just a tremendous force of nature. They both play Quebecois accordion. They're wonderful dancers, wonderful singers. And so if you don't know those guys, Benoit used to play with the band La Bottine Souriante, which is a huge Quebecois band up in Montreal. And they're absolutely tremendous. So go look all of those guys up. They're all dear friends of ours and just tremendous musicians.
Cool. I should see if I can get that list and put them in the show notes.
Yeah, they're
a lot of great stuff. Yeah,
they're just fantastic. They're just fantastic.
Well, thank you so much, Shannon, for joining us on the podcast. I'm really looking forward to sharing more with you, more with our listeners of your new album and, of course, the older albums as well, because, you know, you're still a favorite. So.
Oh, thanks so much. Oh, my goodness. We so appreciate your support.
I get so excited each time I get an album from you. So thank you. All right, what are we going to finish up the show with? And before we do that, though, why don't you tell me where people can find you online?
Oh, yes. We're runamusic.com. So R-U-N-A music.com is our website.
Awesome.
And then we're kind of on all the social media places, Facebook, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. So come say hi. Come be our friend, as it were. And we're going to finish up with a track, a Quebecois song, traditional Quebecois song, La Zigazon. And so the guys that we were mentioning before, Antoine and Benoit used to play with La Bottine Souriante, and that band, La Bottine Souriante, made this song kind of popular sensation in the folk world. And they have an amazing version where it is completely a cappella and just foot percussion. And it's like a force of nature. It's great. And so we all grew up individually listening to, hearing this, playing, singing this song. It's a bit cheeky, so I might not share the lyrics live, but it's a brilliant song. And kids grow up listening and singing the song. Our son sings along with the song all the time, but it's a fantastic song. And we decided to kind of put our own kind of funky spin on the whole thing. And we had the immense pleasure and honor of having the two of them, Antoine and Benoit, join us both up on stage and then recording this with us on the album as well. And so it gives it kind of an extra special kick to it. So we hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoyed putting it together.
les dégâts, zon, zon, zon. Ma va dans la fontaine, bouille, pêche du poisson, les dégâts, zon, zon, zon. La fontaine n'est pas fond, je me suis collé au fond, les dégâts, zon, zon, zon. Fille en haut, fille en bas, fille, 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 femme. Femme, femme, femme aussi, puis la peau, tin, 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 à rigoler, ha, ha. Sorti pour te clétoyer, t'oreiller. Sorti pour te clétoyer, mon. Sorti pour te clétoyer, t'oreiller. Sorti pour te clétoyer, mon. La fontaine est profonde, je me suis collé au fond, la zéga zon zin zon. La fontaine est profonde, je me suis collé au fond, la zéga zon zin zon. Contournez vos belles, si je vous tirez de fond, la zéga zon zin zon. Fille en haut, fille en bas, fille, 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 femme. Femme, femme, femme aussi, puis la peau, tin, 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 à rigoler, ha, ha. Senti pour te clétoyer, mon. Senti pour te clétoyer, t'oreiller. Senti pour te clétoyer, mon.
I hope you enjoyed that interview. If you did, remember, go to Runa Music, runamusic.com. The album will be released in March, so you definitely want to get a copy of it. runamusic.com. Thank you so much, patrons of the podcast. You are amazing, and it is because of your generosity that you get to hear all this great music and interviews each and every week. Your kindness pays for our engineer, graphic designer, Celtic Music Magazine editor, promotion of the podcast, and it allows me to buy music I play here. It also pays for my time in creating the show each and every week. As a patron, you get music-only episodes before regular listeners. You get to vote in the Celtic Top 20, and you get standalone stories and a private feed to listen to the show, all that for as little as $1 per episode. A special thanks to our Celtic legends. These generous people pledge $25 or more per month to support the show. Thanks to Bill Mandeville, Marty Myers, Brenda, Karen, D.M. Harris, Emma Bartholomew, Dan McDade, Carol Burrill, Miranda Nelson, Nancy Barnett, Kevin Long, Gary R. Hook, Linda McNeil, Kelly Garrod, Annie Lorkowski, and Sean Callie. Thank you so much for your support. Here is your three-step plan to support the podcast. Number one, go to our Patreon page. Number two, decide how much you want to pledge each and every week. $1, $5, or $25. Plus, make sure you to cap how much you want to spend per month. Number three, free. Keep listening to the Irish and Celtic Music Podcast to celebrate Celtic culture through music. You can become a generous patron of the podcast on Patreon at songhenge.com. And again, if you want to join me on my Celtic Invasion vacation, so either this year or next, head on over to CelticInvasion.com, sign up to the mailing list, and find out more podcasts related to the invasions will be coming in the near future, so stay tuned for that. Fearon is up next with Smelling Fresh, I Write, from their album The Long Lunch.
Morning, they first appear.
tell to you some flattering story, and then declare they love you well. But then they'll go and court another and leave you here in grief to dwell. I wish to the Lord I'd never met him.
a silent street. The wind has changed for winter, and still I play as cold as I may be. Though damaged limbs goad me toward my failures, I sound the air, my bow touched upon steel. Farewell, my old and trusted friend. In life you served me well. Farewell, I feel it's near the end. There's a changing of the seasons coming, a turning of the tide. There was a time before these walls were shaken, a man could sit and play for all to see. A vision comes, I hope to God I'm mistaken. These streets awash with blood surrounding me. Farewell, my own and trusted friend. In life you served me well. Farewell, I feel it's near the end. There's a changing of the seasons coming, a turning of the tide.
After Farron came Amar Arkins with Fair and Tender Ladies from her brand new album Here and There. Then The Turning of the Tide by Matt McGinn from Behind Every Door. Oh, thank you so much for joining me once again on a Celtic musical adventure. I hope you had a wonderful time. And of course, oh, speaking of adventures, I have a new album that is coming out on March 4th. It's called Come Adventure With Me. Mostly original Celtic-inspired songs, and I hope you will consider checking it out. Find out more about me at markgunn.com. All right, we're going to finish up the set with the Byrne Brothers from their new album, The Boys of Durin. This is P stands for Patty. Thank you so much for listening. I can't wait to share more music with you next week. Sláinte.
Out in the bright morning to take a pleasant walk, I sat down beside a stone wall for to hear two lovers talk. For to hear two lovers talk, my love, to hear what they might say, for I might learn a little more love before I go away. E stands for Patty, I suppose, J for my love John, W stands for false William O, but Johnny's the fairest man. Johnny's the fairest man, she said, Johnny's the fairest man. I don't care what anyone says, for Johnny's the fairest man. Well, come on, sit beside me, love, beside me on the green. It's a long 3/4 of a year or more since together we have been. Since together we have been, my dear, together we have been. It's a long 3/4 of a year or more since together we have been. Oh, I'll not sit beside you, love, now or any time. For I hear you, love, I'm not a little lass, and your heart's no longer mine. And your heart's no longer mine, she said, your heart's no longer mine. I don't care what anybody says, for your heart's no longer mine. Stands for Patty, I suppose, J for my love John, W stands for false William O, but Johnny's the fairest man. Johnny's the fairest man, she said, Johnny's the fairest man. I don't care what anybody says, for Johnny's the fairest man. So I will climb my high tree, rob a wild bird's nest, back I'll bring what I find there to the girl I love the best. To the girl I love the best, she said, the girl I love the best. I'll bring what that I find there to the girl I love the best. P stands for Patty, I suppose, J for my love John, W stands for false William O, but Johnny's the fairest man. For Johnny's the fairest man, she said, Johnny's the fairest man. I don't care what anyone says, for Johnny's the fairest man.
The Irish and Celtic Music Podcast is produced by Mark Gunn, the Celt Father, and our patrons on Patreon. The show is edited by Mitchell Peterson with graphics by Miranda Nelson Designs. Visit our website to follow the show. You'll find links to all the artists played in this episode. Todd Wiley is the editor of the Celtic Music Magazine. Subscribe to get 34 Celtic MP3s for free, plus you'll get 7 weekly news items about what's happening with Celtic music and culture online. Best of all, you will connect with your Celtic heritage. Please tell one friend about this podcast. Word of mouth is the absolute best way to support any creative endeavor. Finally, remember, reduce, reuse, recycle, and think about how you can make a positive impact on climate change. Promote Celtic culture through music at CelticMusicPodcast.com.